Is it time?
Very good.
Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're just delighted that you're here with us at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church as we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's an exciting Sunday for us for a number of reasons. First of all, in the liturgical calendar, today is technically Trinity Sunday of all things. So we celebrate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but far closer to home. Today is also Memorial Day and also the day we've chosen to celebrate our graduates. We're going to have a moment to do that here in just a little bit, and it's with great joy that I'll reintroduce you to some of the kids that'll be, well, they're not kids, I'm sorry. At some point when you hit like 45, everybody under the age of 25 becomes a kid. I don't know why. Did for me, at least. We're going to celebrate these wonderful young men and women with just a moment of recognition and prayer. But today, as we also know, is the Sunday prior to Memorial Day. You know, it's in Galatians that God teaches us that it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And as Christians, we remember that freedom came at a terrible cost, that God's Son gave his life for us and for our salvation in much the same way. As we who enjoy the benefits of liberty here in America, we must remember that this freedom to worship, this freedom to go and do and be as we choose, was in fact not free itself, that it came at the cost of men and women who selflessly shed their lives in order that you and I might live in peace, prosperity, and freedom. And so it is during this weekend, and especially tomorrow, that we look back with tears in our eyes and yet gratitude lodged so deeply in our heart to remember the men and women of our armed forces who have given their life, reminded by Jesus' declaration in the Gospel of John that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for their friends. Friends, we won't acknowledge the service members now. We have a period for that. It's called Veterans Day, and we do celebrate it. And we do celebrate you if you've served. But Memorial Day is about the lost. And if you've lost a loved one, you're in our prayers, because I know many of us have. And we celebrate and remember with gratitude. Well, it's with Christian sympathy this morning that I have to announce two losses in our congregation. The first, Mary Griffin, mother of Ginger Thompson, passed away last week peacefully at home. Her service is coming up this Friday at 11 a.m. We invite you to join us, and there will be a visitation in the fellowship hall that follows. So that's Friday at 11 o'clock. Later that same week, we lost Melva Thompson. Melva passed away peacefully at a hospice house in Newton, North Carolina, obviously. She meant a lot to this congregation. Her service is coming together. We don't have specific details yet. We expect that it'll be Thursday, and we will make sure that we let you know when it will definitely be. Today we collect the 10 cents a meal offering, as well as some non-perishable food items. The Cook's Men are going to be sponsoring the 2021 Antique Auto Show. That's just two weekends away, on Saturday, June the 12th. From 9 a.m. to 2:30. We still need folks to help with the hamburgers and hot dogs, and we still need sponsors. If you have any questions about that, you could talk to Dwight Black or Dale would be a good one to talk to. We also have a marketplace coming up on Saturday, June 26th at 9. That's a time where we can come together and celebrate the gifts and buy some of the arts and crafts from members of our congregation and their friends. So that should be a lot of fun. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are in an honor of Elizabeth Bullock on her birthday, given by her sons Matt and Mark and their family, and her sisters Joy Hilton and Phyllis Monteith and their families. Those are beautiful. And one last announcement. The Presbyterian women will hold the bake sale at the car show. Please let Petey Self know if you can help man the sales table. Man, that's a lot. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before our congregation at this time? Okay, well, let's have our graduates come down so that we can celebrate them. Yeah. Hey, guys. Okay. Y'all remember when you graduated from college? Right? It was that kind of feeling of excitement mixed with a whole lot of fear, I imagine. Right? I think this one's yours.
Black and gold.
Black and gold, yeah, that's it. But pink for the Tar Heel, right? Right. What's up with that? But, you know, again, this church celebrates YouTube. You know, throughout your history, you've participated in the life and witness of this church. You've taken Jesus Christ into your context at Appalachian State and at Carolina. And now as you head forward into this next section and exciting time in your life, we pray that you'll continue to keep Jesus Christ beside you. Because as you encounter those first hurdles, making your first rent payment or mortgage payment on your own, asking the person that you want to marry to be yours, to have and to hold, these lie ahead. And I will tell you from experience that what we find, what I've encountered, what men and women here have encountered, is that the more we have God in our hearts, the more we have Jesus resonating within us, those difficult spaces, those tough times, those joys, everything becomes magnified. Magnified because we have a God that loves us, that adores us, and we know that especially through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm excited for y'all. I'm excited to introduce and let you know a little bit about these two, although I think they probably are known. This is Cam Jones, and Cam has graduated from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Go Heels, right? Sheldon, what? Sheldon's booing, right? You graduated in finance, and now you're starting a job with NBC Universal Comcast. Here's the kicker. She doesn't know where she's going to be, right? She'll find out Tuesday, so keep her in your prayers, because it could be someplace really fun, right? Or it could be Milwaukee, right? I'm sorry. Right, like if anybody here is from Milwaukee, that was it's a little much. And Dalton, you graduated from Arizona State University. Arizona, Appalachian State. How do I miss that? Appalachian State University, go whatever. Buccaneers.
Mountaineers.
Yeah, Mountaineers. And you're, my understanding is you're going off to graduate school to study administration in collegiate life.
Student Affairs Administration.
Okay, well, great. Well, as we know, it's going to take their energy and their excitement and their enthusiasm, and it's going to take a lot of prayer. Because just as they go off into this new segment of their lives, we at Cooks are able to continue to honor a promise that we made either at their baptism or to have picked up from their baptism at another church. And that, of course, is to always to be in prayer and hope and expect the best for these two. So I encourage you in the coming days and weeks that you'll hold Cam and Dalton, as well as Dalton's sister, who is also graduated but could not be with us here today. I hope you will celebrate them and hold them in your prayer, and let us begin that active prayer this very minute. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for these three graduates of Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. Heavenly Father, what a joy it's been through the years to be there at the significant moments in their lives as they came to the play school or went to Bible school and continued on with our children's and youth as they sat in our sanctuary, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity, not only to participate in their Christian growth, but, oh Lord, to experience their joy as they celebrate their graduation. Heavenly Father, we just ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would continue to watch over all of our graduates. Be there for them, O Lord. Be for them a strong fortress, a mighty stronghold. Be for them the very rock upon which they stand, so that they may continue to not only know of your love and grace, but they might share it with others. Heavenly Father, we recognize that all transitions and change bring about a form of anxiety and stress. And not only will our graduates feel it, but we pray also for their parents and loved ones, O Lord. Be with them, perhaps as they encounter an empty nest, or perhaps feel the yearning to continue to monitor their children's lives as they go forward. Heavenly Father, fill them with confidence in your Holy Spirit's protective watch care. Assuage their worries and anxieties and let them know that you have started something in these three graduates that you will see through to its completion, O Lord, that you will bless their days, that you will fill it with provision, and that in the difficult and dark spaces of this life, they will know with absolute certainty that Jesus Christ loves them as well as the members of Cook's United Memorial Presbyterian Church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. Amen. Yay! Congratulations. Thank you.
We will bless you as long as we live. For you have been our help.
Let us. That's it. Right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for leading us here to worship you, O Lord, on this Trinity Sunday, a day before Memorial Day, a day that we celebrate our graduates. Heavenly Father, as we do remember those things, new lives beginning and new lives ending, Heavenly Father, remind us yet again that you are indeed our Alpha and our Omega, that you are the beginning and the end, that the entirety of our lives and all of the lives of the people we love and know are entirely within the loving grasp of our wonderful God. Gracious God, remind us that through Jesus Christ you have atoned for our sins, you have led us into a new life, new creation, your word calls it, and that through your Holy Spirit that you are sanctifying us all to prepare us, for that heaven that awaits, that kingdom that comes, that place where there's no weeping, no sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, or even death, Heavenly Father. As we worship you this morning, be with us as we sing your praises. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make all these prayers. Amen. I invite you now, to please rise, picking up your hymnal and turning to 353 in the red hymnal. As we sing, that's right, congregationally, my hope is built on nothing less. Friends, the word reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us from our sins and forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. So I invite you now, in humility and in faith, to step forward and join me as we pray our prayer of confession located in this morning's bulletin. Join me, please. Holy and triune God, You alone live in perfect relationship, one God in three persons, mutual and loving, never seeking reconciliation and unity. You have called us to live in your completion, yet we confess that our relationships are imperfect and we are incomplete without you. We are selfish and greedy. We are anxious and resenting. We feel the shame of our foolish behavior and a brokenness. We have allowed sin to drive us apart from one another and from you. Forgive us and restore us. Draw us close and bind us together in your mercy. May we long for wholeness and peace. May we strive toward gratitude and grace in the saving name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the working power of your Holy Spirit. That we have been claimed by a God that knew us before the foundations of the earth, saved by a God, a suffering Messiah who took flesh and lived, breathed, and died for us and for our salvation. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. I invite you now to remain standing and join me in the singing of hymn number 187, Savior Like a Shepherd Leads.
Jesus, Jesus, you have loved us, love us still.
Seated, and at this point, we'd like to invite the children to come forward and spend a little time just for them with Miss Emily this morning.
Y'all don't mind holding on for just a second. I'm going to check my Instagram right now. I posted something last night, and I want to see how many people are following me right now. Hold on just a second. Gosh, I thought it would be more people than that. Wow. I guess, well, let's see. Well, how many of you have like an Instagram, or maybe you have a YouTube person that you follow? Maybe you like to wake up and look at the sports scores in the morning. Anybody like to do that? Yeah? Finley, I know you do. You like to check out SportsCenter in the morning and see what's going on, right? Well, sometimes, you know, that can be something that we want to do all the time, where we're just wanting to look at our Instagram or Facebook or maybe even the sports scores, follow our favorite sports team and see how they're doing. But is there something else maybe we should be following sometimes? Jesus? Yeah? Well, he wants us to follow him too, right? So if we're looking at all those other things, sometimes it can be hard to find the time to make sure that we're doing the right thing so that we follow Jesus. So what are things that we can do to make sure that we are following Jesus? We can pray. That's right. We can read our Bible. We can do all different kinds of things. We can take care of other people, help other people. So those are good ways to follow Jesus as well. So maybe over the next week when you're checking out the sports scores or seeing the latest thing that's on YouTube, following your favorite thing that you do, maybe it's a hobby or a video game that you have, maybe also think about ways that you can follow Jesus, okay? So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to follow you.
Thank you for allowing us to follow you.
And thank you for teaching us,
and thank you for teaching us
that there are good ways to follow you.
That there are good ways to follow you.
In your name we pray.
And in your name we pray.
Amen.
Man, I think I needed to hear that, right? How many hours can I watch it on Facebook? Apparently, I haven't hit that point yet. We come now into a time of reading and proclamation of the Word, and before we turn to the Word, we go before the Lord and ask Him to shine His light on this reading and proclamation of Scripture. So join me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us so that we might hear your word of truth this day. Draw us into your holy communion, enabling us to love, conspiring with us to make me one with you and you for the world, so that we might continue to deeply love the world just as you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Before I start, I just wanted to share that my grandma actually got Scotty and I both a Bible for graduation Sunday, or for graduation, so she wrote a little verse in it, and I'm going to read that before I read the verse I'm supposed to read. So, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Thanks, Dalton. I've switched the New Testament reading today a little bit. I've moved it to 1 Peter 5, and I'll get to that in just a few moments. You know, I continue this week a sermon series I began, I guess, about 5 weeks ago, after Easter. And I've shared with you, I think after Easter is a really good time to kind of remind ourselves what it is we as Christians believe, and most importantly, what are the actions, behaviors, outlooks, and attitudes that we Christians really need to take to heart. And to that end, I've been kind of tracing us through a progression. How do we go from the darkness to the light? It'd be one way to think about it. And I think the only way that you get there is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're authentically Christian. Now, again, that takes a little definition. Authentically Christian just means that it's more than the surface, right? You know, I think there can be a lot of surface elements to all of our Christian faith. I mean, we maybe come to church, but then as soon as we're out of here, we got something else going on, someplace we'd rather be. And pretty soon our minds slip away from God. And yet the call of the Christian is to be sanctified, to live a glorious and wonderful and abundant life. But there are things that get in our way. And most significantly, one of the things that gets in our way is us. We tend to be the origin, the genesis, the beginning of a lot of our own problems. And this morning I want us to kind of take a look, and thinking back on what we talked about last week, we talked about really thoroughly examining your life, to kind of go in and see and trying to take stock, to find out what's good and what's bad. And if you've done this work thoroughly, and done this work with guidance and with the power of the Holy Spirit, then what you're going to find is a pattern. There are certain sins that we just gravitate to. My 5 or 6 are different than your 5 or 6, but the fact of the matter is they're all pretty bad. And the question then becomes, why can't we stop on our own? What do we got to do to see it end? And that's the point and the purpose of this sermon today. I'm reminded, especially since Cam came in wearing a Carolina blue robe, that even though I went to Duke Divinity, I was very much raised a Tar Heel. You know, my parents both graduated from Carolina in the 60s, and believe me, I learned to pull for the heels before I probably learned to speak, right? I hope not, but maybe. And one of the things we did as Tar Heel fans, we're big fans of the basketball team, right? And so I got to be probably a little bit obsessed when I was younger. In 1981, and that's a lot of years ago, I would have been 10 years old, the Tar Heels made it all the way to the NCAA men's basketball finals, only to lose to Indiana. I cried myself to sleep that night. No kidding. But there was salvation the next year as Michael Jordan joined the team. And in 1982, the Tar Heels, thanks to a sweet jumper by Michael Jordan, won the men's basketball championship. It was a great moment, made even greater by the fact that my parents had just gotten a VCR, right? And so they recorded the game. Well, the next year comes along, and, you know, the Tar Heels still have Michael Jordan. They're still loaded the expectations. They were going to go all the way. But in 1983, they failed to find some chemistry, and in the third round of the final, the NCAA tournament, they lost to a scrappy Georgia team. Instead of crying that night myself to sleep, my father and mother and sister and I did something that would become our pattern for years to come. Every time the Tar Heels lost in the tournament, we'd take that tape out from the 1982 victory, and we'd watch it. And let me tell you, y'all, that was a real salve. Like, just when the team tanks, You can go back and relive this wonderful moment. It's great. But you see, it was 11 years between NCAA championships for the Tar Heels. And what started out as very effective, over time, became more of a sad reminder of things. And yet we still continued to do it. Why? It had initially worked, really. There's your answer. I think as we talk about the realm of sin, we're going to find something similar. And as we continue in this series, what I hope that we're seeing is that there's really only one solution, one answer, right? And that's a life of humble submission and sacrifice to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is itself, we know, the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we won't boast. And as we do that work, what we're going to find is that we need help, that we stand in need of assistance when it comes to all manner of things, but perhaps most especially when it comes to fighting our sin. So why? What's the problem? What's going on? What continues to draw us back? What makes us want to pick up the old battered tape of dishonesty or anger or apathy? What does that? When we know that just like that tape for so many years, that maybe it worked once or twice, but then later it became nothing but a sorry reminder of the past. Well, the answer, I'm going to come into the first letter of the Apostle Peter. I'm going to come into the fifth chapter, and I read to you now 5b through verse 11. Hear now the word of our Lord. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Y'all, when we moved to Charlotte, my mom very quickly got my sister involved in brownies. This would have been in 1976, 77. And unfortunately, she quickly became a troop leader or a brownie leader or whatever, which meant that in my five-year-old self had to go to all these brownie meetings. Not exactly the most fun. And they took place at Sharon Presbyterian Church in the big gymnasium, the Charles, I think, something or another building. Charles Little, I think, is the building. Anyway, I'd have to go to this, and it was really dull. And so I got to wandering around one time, and I found myself in the closet with some really big switches. And I thought, man, I'm going to flip those and see what happens, right? Boom, nothing. I'm in the closet. Pretty soon, though, I start hearing shouts and yells. Apparently, I've turned the lights off to the entire gymnasium. There are no windows in that gym. So now it's pitch black, right? Well, I get out of there, right? Man, I know I'm cooked. Because then eventually when they try to turn the lights on, back then I guess they had lights that had to warm up. And so it was really, really slow and they had to cancel the meeting. Mom was mortified. She asked me, she said, did you do this? No. Right? And it worked. I got away with it for a while. You know, I point to that story humorously because I wish that was the last time I had told the dishonesty. The fact of the matter is, it wasn't. But I think in some small way, every time I do, I wish and I'm hoping for that same outcome. Yeah, I think sin is like that. I think what we find is that we continue to come back to them, not because they're awful or evil, they are, but rather because at a time and in a place in our lives, we found them useful to use. After all, when one's caught with one's hand in the cookie jar, it's easier to say I'm getting a cookie for my mom than it is to say I was hungry, right? It's easier to tell to be dishonest. It's easier to be angry at someone than to work on reconciliation or solving the problems. We find these outlets and they work for a while just like that tape from the 82 National Championship, but eventually they wear out. They don't work. We lie and get caught. We're angry and we lose friends. We don't care and we find that our lives are lonely. These are the consequences of our sin, but strangely enough, we continue to go back to them. It's a form of addiction, if we think about it. We are addicted to the very thing that is harming us, and it's not surprising. Biochemically, there's this interesting chemical that your brain secretes. It's called dopamine. And dopamine is the God's designed agent to help you remember something good, right? God has a plan for you, and when you encounter something good, like learning to build a fire for the earliest people, your mind secretes a chemical so that you get a good feeling. You remember that when you did this thing, good things happened. And so your body wants you to remember. Now, dopamine becomes, I think, perhaps the reason why we find ourselves continuing to come back to the same patterns of sin, even when we know they don't work. You know, there's a really great author. He's a Roman Catholic. He's a priest and a monk, and I think he's Benedictine, but he may not be. Anyway, his name's Richard Rohr, and he wrote this book, Breathing Underwater, and it's brilliant. He writes this: substance addictions like alcohol and drugs are merely the most visible form of addiction. But actually, we are all addicted to our own habitual way of doing anything, our own defenses, and most especially our own patterned way of thinking or how we process our reality. That is to say, in a matter of sense, we become addicted to sin. We think that it'll work, but when it stops working, we continue to go back to it. Fact of the matter is, we can't beat ourselves, right? We want to try. We just don't have the wherewithal. When we apply our will to the problem, what we find are the results are less than stellar. What's the time of year that we all kind of look back and think what we want to do better in the coming days, right? New Year's. New Year's, we all get geared up and we write these things, maybe if we're particularly industrious, and we call them resolutions, right? How successful have you been at them, right? Well, statistically, 88% of resolutions have kicked the can by February. 8% is your total success rate. 8% of all New Year's resolutions statistically are followed through on. That means 92% of the time you failed. Did you fail at a resolution? Well, there's your reason. Well, your reason, I should say, is because oftentimes we try to treat the disease with its cause. We try to take ourselves and try to apply it very assiduously to the problem. But as I've said, it's treating the disease with the cause, and the results are 92% fail rate. You know, it's our sin that undoes us. It's our sin that we've explored and looked at as we've taken a thought backwards and written down what it is we see as being our primary shortcomings. And then we take those shortcomings and we recognize we can't solve them on ourselves. By ourselves, that we do indeed need some other help, which is important because one could argue that all sin, the thing that ends up we being addicted to, is in fact a manifestation of pride. It's pride that causes us to think that somehow the rules weren't made for us, they were made for you. It's our pride that tells us what might have been good for somebody else to do, or not good, rather, for somebody else to do, I can do because, you know, well, I'm me. And if you knew me, you'd know why this was the case. Pride, throughout Christian history, has always been pointed to as the beginning of our problem. And so if we see that sin stems from pride and that our pride dooms us, then we've got to find a solution to it. You know, the problem as we move forward with pride is that we look back in the scriptures and we see that humanity has been plagued by it since the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, in fact, if we go from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through Genesis chapter 11, we're going to find three human incidents of the terrible, devastating nature of pride. Number one, Genesis 3, as Adam and Eve take the apple and they fall. It's in fact their pride and their ego that the serpent has appealed to. The serpent has said, "You should eat this and you will be like God." It's an appeal to the ego, one that finds root. We know what happens from the fall. The second one comes as two brothers bring their offering to God. One is accepted, the other rejected. Feeling the bitter sting of God's rejection, does Cain change his ways? Does he look to some other solution? No, he allows anger to dominate him, and soon his brother lays in a pool of blood. And of course, the third issue of this, third instance, rather, of this terrible nature of pride comes to us in Genesis 11, doesn't it? As man, in that early stage, decides that in order to be like God, we'll build a tower to the heavens and overthrow the Almighty. God hating pride, topples that tower, and soon all the languages of the world are mixed up so that we won't have that pride, that folly, to continue further. You see, our pride is what leads us to sin, and unfortunately, our pride is also what creates an awful lot of anxiety. When I was the only sport I played remarkably well, that's giving myself a little more credit. The only sport I played competently was baseball, right? And so I remember playing for my middle school team, and we were playing our arch nemesis. And it was the bottom of the ninth with two outs. Our team was behind, and my friend Colby stepped up to the plate. I was on the on-deck circle. As Colby was at bat, I found my thoughts strangely turning to an odd place. I began thinking maybe Colby should strike out, right? I can look back on that and see that it was my pride. You see, I knew that if he got a hit, it would be on me in my mind, and I could either be the hero or the zero. And I thought, man, being the hero would be nice, but being the zero would be worse. You see how I made that entire game about how it was going to affect me, myself, and I. Pride can do that to us. It can generate an anxiety, and then the anxiety generates the impulse to sin. Do you see? Maybe you're feeling a little stressed at work because you're not getting promoted. And oh, by the way, there's a McDonald's and their ice cream machine is working today. Right? And so the next thing you know, you got a McFlurry in your hand chomping away. Well, this is striking a little close to home too, right? eating that McFlurry. You see, sin is a manifestation of pride. Pride leads to anxiety, and anxiety leads us back to our sin. It's an awful and vicious cycle. And if we're to break it, we have to do something. Something has to be done to us. And the answer is we have to be acted upon by Jesus Christ. You know, we have to find ourselves feeling the urge to completely change. We have, by the Spirit's power, to look at that tape and say, wait a second, that doesn't help. But how am I going to stop playing the tape? Well, you give your life to Jesus Christ. You surrender all that is yours, everything you control, everything you hold dear about yourself, all of your character traits, all of your character defects. They simply have to be given to God because you can't solve your problem with sin. I can't solve it either. But there is one who can. That one is the Almighty God known to us in Jesus Christ. May you find him now. Because having been found, we find and locate the source of the problem. It's ourselves and our expectation, as well as the cure, which is none other than humility. You know, when we look at Jesus Christ, what we find is a man, a God that took flesh, that even though he was in the very form of God, came to earth and squeezed himself into human flesh. What an indignity to be so free, and yet then, in order to help, be so limited. And yet Jesus Christ did it. It was humbling, to be sure, to go from God free in the world to God incarnate. And then, of course, Jesus Christ, as we know, when the time was right, he came to the Jordan River. He took a baptism for the repentance from sin. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Jason, Jesus didn't sin. That's the point. Exactly. You see, Jesus underwent that baptism in the River Jordan, not because he needed it, but because we did. And then as the Gospel of John draws to a close, Jesus, as they prepare for the Passover meal, comes into a room. He's the leader. And yet, surprisingly, he takes off his garment. He ties a towel around his waist, and soon he's on his knees washing the feet of his followers. You see, Jesus Christ is the ultimate personification, the ultimate example of humility, and he calls us to it. And it's in that humility we find the answer. You see, we can't beat our sin by ourselves, but God can. And if we will but turn those issues, those anxieties, that's what Peter says, over to God, we can be assured that he is going to correct them. Not us, him. And he will correct them and continue to lead us forward in a way that will allow us to prosper. And yet, somehow, some way, we've got to quit playing those old tapes. We've got to quit finding comfort in a solution that doesn't really work. And the way we do that, we ask for help. Imagine that. Simply by turning to God and in offering him our problems, we allow God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to solve them. Not ourselves, but God. Not our will, but his. Not us saving ourselves, but rather letting Jesus Christ save us, which is what he came to do to begin with. You know, one of my kids really, really, really wanted to whistle. And that particular child, well, they were in that age where they didn't want a whole lot of help. I'd say, let me help you. I'd hear this, let me help you. No, I'm going to figure this out myself. Let me help you. No, I'm going to figure this out myself. I want to stop overeating. Let me figure it out myself. I want to quit being dishonest. Let me figure it out by myself. And what we keep doing. But then, one day, fully beaten, aware that they were never going to whistle without a little assistance, that child came to me and said, "How do you do it, Daddy?" I was able to work with them, and it's a great gift to be able to do so. Now that child can whistle like a songbird. But it only came when there was an honest and earnest admission that she couldn't do it, but that he knew, yeah, that God could. Friends, with your sin, as you know what it is and where it lies, recognize that it comes from pride. It comes from us thinking too much about ourselves. We're entitled or we deserve becomes the means by which we justify that which God does not justify. And yet the solution is remarkably easy. It's simply recognizing that you can't cure the ill that you started yourself, but that God can and will. Maybe we ought to ask him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now come into a time, having heard the word read and proclaimed, where we lift up our thoughts and minds to God, trusting and knowing that not only does he hear our prayers, but that he does indeed answer them as well. So I invite you now, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and in your love. We trust that not only do you hear our prayers, but you're responding to them. And so, O Lord, we lift up them to you. Heavenly Father, we rejoice with this church as we celebrate the accomplishments of Cameron Jones and Dalton Stroop and Scotty Stroop, O Lord. We pray that you would continue to watch over them, continue to allow this church to guide them and offer assistance. There's much to learn, and there is much wisdom to share. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and allow us to be the carrier and conduit of that faith. Be with those parents, providing all relief from any anxiety and worry and concern. Heavenly Father, parenting is difficult, and just because your children go off, the concern remains. Oh Lord, so be with them. Provide them a peace that surpasses all understanding. Grace God, we pray and thank you. We thank you, rather, for all the men and women who've given their lives in defense of this country, oh Lord. We thank you that they were able to become selfless in such a way as to see them lay down their lives for us, oh Lord. Gracious God, so we pray for their families, asking that you continue to remind them, oh Lord, that their loved ones are safe and with you. Heavenly Father, we pray for this country, just thankful that men and women continue to stand in the gap between ourselves and lawlessness. Lord, we pray this day for the many families who are struggling and suffering with the loss of their loved one. We think of Ginger Thompson's family, oh Lord, as she and her family miss Mary Griffin. Oh Lord, we pray also for the Thompson family and Pam Crosby, especially as we think about the loss of Melva. Oh Lord, be with these families alongside them, providing everything necessary so that they may manage their grief with the certain understanding that their loved ones are safe and awaiting a reunion with us all who believe in Jesus Christ in the great kingdom that comes. Oh Lord, we pray today for this community and for this society. We just ask that you continue to watch over us. Oh Lord, we lift up to you all the names on our prayer list. We don't know what all of their problems are, but we know and believe that you do, and that you're actively working on them. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we make them concluding with the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come now into the offering time, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed
perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for all the gifts that you've shared with us. And now, as we bring a portion of those blessings back to you, we pray that you would sanctify this offering, using it to the glory of your kingdom, using it so that the hungry might be fed, the blind given sight, the homeless given shelter, O Lord, and the sin sick be given salve. We make these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, as we come into a time and we consider our sin, as we look at it, we're going to identify our likeliest culprits. And then that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Do we want to change or do we want to stay? Because if we do want to change, then we know that we're not the solution, but there is God. And God will provide us all necessary strength and energy so that we might avoid our sin and live that abundant life that He desires for us all. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.